Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
WrestleMania is less than 2 weeks away. Kevin Owens has suffered a neck injury and therefore has officially been ruled out of WrestleMania 41. The favor that Paul Heyman owes CM Punk has finally been revealed, and Rey Fénix has made his debut for the WWE. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Ringside Chaos. This is the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast and 6ix9ine Productions. My name is Alex Alcazaz, and I'm also known as the Bear of Texas. And to start things off, when I first saw that all these particular sources on the internet were suggesting, and some of them fully insisting, and some of them just flat out fully reporting that Kevin Owens had indeed been ruled out of WrestleMania. So when all this started to flood, when all this started to surface, I thought, okay, maybe this is just an angle. I'm not even kidding. I thought at first it was possibly just an angle. Because at that point, ESPN hadn't said anything, SportsKita hadn't said anything, none of the major news sources had said anything about it. So that's why I was not convinced yet. So I told myself there's no story. And I was not convinced of this being 100% until it finally happened on SmackDown when Kevin Owens, out of character, came to the ring and announced that he would not be able to compete at WrestleMania because he requires neck surgery. So when that happened, I assumed at first that the neck injury was from that very brutal ladder match he had with Cody for the Undisputed Championship. Well, he mentioned that up until January he was feeling good, but then all of a sudden he felt that something was not right. Now, I believe in an interview he said that the injury is not as severe as we might think, but he does require neck surgery. Now, he did say he's not sure if he's ever going to step in the ring again. So he started off by saying he's not sure when he'll be back, and he wasn't even sure if he will be back in the ring to be able to wrestle again. Kevin Owens made his debut on his 16th birthday. Okay? His 16th birthday. Kevin Owens has been wrestling for 25 years. His debut was May 7th, 2000. May 7th, 2000, when he was 16 years old. Kevin Owens has been wrestling for 25 years, okay? Starting out in the Indies in Canada, to the Indies in the United States, to Ring of Honor, making it to the WWE, a brilliant run at NXT, beating John Cena in his debut match on the main roster. Kevin Owens has just been absolutely amazing. Such a unique and illustrious professional wrestling career, much like his best friend, Sami Zayn. It is so unfortunate for Kevin Owens to miss WrestleMania. See, that right there, ladies and gentlemen, is the price you pay as a professional wrestler. An injury could happen in the blink of a freaking eye. That injury could be a simple bruise, a simple cut, to a broken bone, torn ligament, you name it, a concussion, anything. Professional wrestling is not for anybody. It's not for everybody, okay? It's not for the weak of heart. It's not for the weak at heart, okay? And I'm sorry, I'm getting my words mixed up right now because I'm very, very emotional. Kevin Owens is one of the greatest wrestlers that I've had the privilege to study and to cover as a sports journalist. So in Kevin Owens' case, much like a lot of wrestlers, I've not only admired him and I've not only followed him as a fan of professional wrestling, but I've also done it as a journalist. As a matter of fact, everybody knows the story that I've been told many times that some people have told me I'm a lot like Kevin Owens. I guess maybe it's the way I speak, because I've been known for cutting promos on my shows, whether it's burying a certain American football team to just going on a complete tirade. Bottom line is, I've been told that I speak a little bit like Kevin Owens. To be honest with you, well, I appreciate the compliment, but let me be clear. Kevin Owens is one of the many who taught me to be able to speak on a mic. You know, other people have said that I'm a lot like Eddie Kingston. Some of them have gone as far as say that I'm a combination of Eddie Kingston and Kevin Owens when it comes to being on the mic. Well, I appreciate that because Eddie Kingston, much like Kevin Owens, Eddie Kingston is a hero of mine. Eddie Kingston, God bless him. Of course, you know, he's been out for a long time with an injury. So it's very, very tough for me when two professional wrestlers that I heavily look, that I heavily look up to are both injured. They can't do what they love to do most. They can't do what they love to do more than anything. Unfortunately, in Eddie Kingston's case, there's uncertainty about the future of his career, especially with AEW. But now at this point, we're back to where does Eddie's career go from here? But also, the same thing goes for Kevin Owens. Where does Kevin Owens go from here? The truth is, I don't know. I do not know. I don't know where Kevin Owens goes from here. Honestly, right now, I'm praying for Kevin. You know, if you follow me on Twitter, I did actually put out an emotional tweet expressing my thoughts and prayers for a speedy recovery for Kevin Owens. Of course, part of the tweet is in French. Kevin Owens is French-Canadian. I'm French-American. We both speak French. As a matter of fact, I hope to one day get a chance to speak to Kevin Owens in French. J'aimerais bien un jour de parler avec Kevin en français. This is really tough, y'all. So obviously that means that Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens, well, it's obviously been scrapped. I don't even have to say it. So the question is, who does Randy Orton work at WrestleMania? Well, a couple of sources I've put out some potential opponents. One actually goes as far as suggest the SmackDown general manager himself, Nick Aldis. Well, why not? Because after Kevin Owens declared that he would not be able to compete at WrestleMania, well, Nick Aldis informed Randy Orton that he will not have a match at WrestleMania. Pretty much said, you no longer have a match at WrestleMania. And Randy Orton responded in the only way we know he can do it. He delivered an RKO to Nick Aldis out of nowhere. That right there, ladies and gentlemen, that's Randy Orton for you. RKO out of nowhere. How many times have we seen Kevin Owens deliver RKOs out of nowhere? Nobody sees it coming. That's the point, ladies and gentlemen. That's the point. You're not supposed to see it coming. Well, speaking of Randy Orton, his birthday was actually a few days ago. So, Randy, happy belated birthday to you, sir. You know, we talk about Kevin Owens having a career of 25 years. I mean, Randy Orton's been wrestling for a long time. I mean, I'll never forget watching him for the first time in 2002, 2003, when I was like 9, 10 years old, and now I'm 32 years old. Man, I have watched Randy Orton for 20 plus years. The Days of Evolution, The Legend Killer, everything. Everything. I've watched Kevin Owens grow in the business, and I'm very, very grateful to Kevin. So much like Kevin Owens, I should mention Randy. I'm very grateful to Randy. So much like Kevin Owens, I'm very, very grateful to Randy Orton for giving me the honor to study and cover him, not only as a fan, but as a journalist as well. I mean, that particular, me being grateful for that goes to a lot of professional wrestlers, including Chris Jericho, of course. There's a lot of professional wrestlers that have blessed me with the chance to cover them, not only as a fan, but as a journalist as well. Overall, I credit God for that. I credit God for such a blessing. But, man. So as far as I'm concerned, Randy Orton is not... I don't see a reason for him to be left out at WrestleMania. Now, if they couldn't find a suitable replacement for Randy Orton, it would certainly be a shame. I understand that WrestleMania is less than 2 weeks away, but there's options out there. One source suggested, why not Sami Zayn? But right now, I don't know the status of Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn was written off of television a couple of weeks ago in that brutal match with Kevin Owens, the unsanctioned match. So if Randy Orton was to actually work Sami Zayn at WrestleMania, well, it would certainly actually keep the story going. So the question is, does Sami Zayn work Randy Orton as a heel? Could this be headed to a Sami Zayn heel turn? Kevin Owens is out for a long time, and then Sami Zayn works Orton at WrestleMania, Randy Orton goes over, and then Sami Zayn eventually turns heel? I mean, that's a thought. Some even said, you know, one source even said Randy Orton versus Rey Fénix, who, by the way, of course, made his debut last week on SmackDown, wrestling a tremendous match, wrestled Nathan Frazier. Of course, he won. Made his debut last week, April 4th, on SmackDown. And I'll get to Rey Fénix in a little bit. But one source even suggested Rey Fénix versus Randy Orton. Now, there's no doubt in my mind the match would be good, but there's really no story's been developed out of it. So do they really just basically do a last-minute thing to where, you know, Rey Fénix makes his debut about 3 weeks before WrestleMania, and then less than 2 weeks before WrestleMania, he's announced as Randy Orton's new opponent for WrestleMania? Well, okay. All right. That could work. If that's the case, then, you know, maybe Randy Orton could be headed to another heel turn. Who knows? There's really just a lot of uncertainty. But these uncertainties are not the worst thing ever because it brings up the element of surprise. I want to be taken by surprise. But a lot of times when we see Randy Orton turn heel, it's often seen coming. But, you know, and again, with Randy Orton, we're not really supposed to see anything coming, especially the RKO out of nowhere. So now the three opponents that I've seen is Nick Aldis, Sami Zayn, and Rey Fénix. Out of all three, I would say that Sami Zayn would be the best opponent for Randy Orton. As far as Nick Aldis goes, I'm not sure what his current status is as a competitor. I mean, I know that right now he's working as an on-screen authority figure, but as far as his status as a wrestler, I'm not sure exactly where he stands. If he's in, I mean, I don't know. I don't remember him ever saying that he's retiring as an active competitor. If that's the case, I definitely did not hear about it. I don't even know what the particular term would be, but what I'm trying to say is that if Nick Aldis is in fact retired as an active competitor, well, I definitely missed the memo. One source suggested Malakai Black. Okay, well, if that's the case, then we would not find out until the day of WrestleMania. So, if Randy Orton was to work Malakai Black or Aleister Black as he was known in WWE. If Randy Orton was to actually work Aleister Black, well, I would figure that the concept would be he appears at WrestleMania in his ring gear and, well, you know what? No. Imagine this week on SmackDown, literally a week before WrestleMania, Randy Orton goes to the ring and issues an open challenge. That's the way to do it. That would be actually better. It would be better for him to just appear at WrestleMania in the ring, in his gear, and just immediately on the spot issue an open challenge. It wouldn't work like that. So my guess is that this week on SmackDown, Randy Orton is going to come to the ring, and he's going to issue an open challenge. And Nick Aldis could actually come out to the ring and inform Randy that somebody has answered his open challenge, but Randy is not going to find out until the match actually happens at WrestleMania. So let me say it like that to be a little bit more clear if I've not been clear. Orton issues an open challenge. Nick Aldis comes to the ring. Imagine Nick Aldis comes to the ring pretending to be on his phone. He gets to the ring and hangs up the phone and informs Orton that his challenge has been accepted. Okay? So before that, Orton immediately starts off by issuing a challenge and then he cuts a promo because they got to give a little bit of time. So Aldis gets to the ring, hangs up the phone, and tells Orton that your open challenge has been accepted, but you're not going to find out who your opponent is until WrestleMania, until you get in the ring for your match at WrestleMania. If that's the case, then I would expect Malakai Black to be Orton's opponent. Other than that, I really don't know. So ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening on Spotify or if you're watching on YouTube, if you have any idea or who do you think should be Randy Orton's opponent at WrestleMania, well, let me know in the comments, and please be sure to elaborate why. I'm very curious to know. But right now, if it's not Sami Zayn, I have a feeling it could very well be Malakai Black. But if it is Malakai Black, then the particular concept needs to be exactly the way I just explained. Orton issues an open challenge, is informed by SmackDown general manager that his open challenge has been accepted, but Randy will not find out who he's fighting until he gets in the ring at WrestleMania. That's just the way that's just the best way to do it. Aside from that, well, I think Sami Zayn would be the logical opponent, but the current status of Sami Zayn, well, he was written off of television a couple weeks ago. They can't really just bring him back out of the blue, right? But I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised, but I wouldn't be surprised. So maybe the plan was for Sami Zayn to take a little bit of time off, but because if they need him badly, because they need somebody for Randy Orton, well, if Sami Zayn is able to go, well, Sami Zayn is definitely a very, very logical opponent for Randy Orton. I mean, Sami Zayn versus Orton at WrestleMania? Hey, I'd love to see it. So that's it. So, obviously, now we wrap up basically, where does Randy Orton go from here? And, of course, once again, my prayers are with Kevin Owens. I wish him a speedy recovery. I am so grateful for everything that Kevin Owens has done. You know, before he got to WWE, I'm ashamed to say, but I had no idea who he was. Because back in 2014, I was not the wrestling fan that I am today. So as years went on, as I grew up and, of course, became a more educated pro wrestling fan, I spent days and days and days studying Kevin Owens' days at Ring of Honor, at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, based in Los Angeles. I mean, same thing with El Generico. I mean, I've spent a lot of time studying wrestlers in their pre-WWE days. You know, same thing with Adam Cole, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles. I mean, I knew about Joe and AJ Styles from TNA, but I've spent many, 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 many days learning about wrestlers in their pre-WWE days, because that right there is what a pro wrestling fan does. We do our homework, and we learn. All right. Well, as far as Rey Fénix goes, there's really not much to say about his debut, and I'm not saying that as a bad thing. He had a great match. He cut a promo. It's official. He's on SmackDown. His brother Penta is on Raw. So it doesn't surprise me that the Lucha Brothers are currently performing in separate brands. Will the Lucha Brothers officially reunite in WWE? I think it's definitely going to happen. Absolutely, no doubt about it. Do I think it's going to happen anytime soon? Not likely. If you ask me, it probably won't be until this fall. I wouldn't be surprised if the Lucha Brothers didn't reunite until, you know, early 2026. But at this point, you know, I think eventually one day they're going to build up Penta versus Rey Fénix at WrestleMania one year. But in order for that to happen, well, they need to basically reunite. And then, of course, things kind of need to go from there. You know, I did briefly speak about Rey Fénix when I did the episode about Penta's debut in WWE. Well, I spoke about, you know, how Rey Fénix's last few months in AEW were very, very tough on him. You know, all the injuries and everything. I mean, the Lucha Brothers, during their time in AEW, is just, you know, one of the best tag teams I had ever seen. You know, just like I mentioned, how about doing all the homework about Owens, Sami Zayn, Samoa Joe, and AJ Styles all before WWE? You know, before I saw the Lucha Brothers on AEW, I had no idea who they were, and I'm ashamed. But I did my homework about them. You know, they've competed in Mexico, they've competed on the Indies in the Indies in the USA. They've been at Major League Wrestling, at TNA Wrestling. Of course, you know, Rey Fénix, and you know, I think I spent time with CMLL. I think same thing with Penta. I mean, they've just been all over the place. They have been all over the place. So, again, with Rey Fénix, you know, from what we have read about on the internet about his last couple of months in the company being so tough, I think in September 2024, his AEW contract was originally going to expire. But Tony Khan added additional time due to injury that Rey Fénix due to injuries. So let me say it again to be clear. I think in September of last year, Rey Fénix's contract with AEW was set to expire, but because Rey Fénix missed time due to injury, Tony Khan added an additional few months to make up for that. So, but it was actually early last month, where Rey Fénix's profile was moved to the AEW alumni section. I think March 18th is when he officially signed, I believe, with WWE. I'm not sure, but you know, he made his debut just a couple of days ago. But you know, looking at it from there, yep, he did in fact make his. It was actually March 21st where it was reported that he was signed by WWE. So March 3rd is when Fénix's AEW profile on the website was moved what was removed, actually. So Rey Fénix's profile was removed from the AEW website, which finally ended his tenure with the company, which lasted 6 years. And in March, Fightful Select reported that Fénix had officially signed with WWE, and that same month, WWE on SmackDown started sharing vignettes to promote his debut, and he made his debut last week, so defeating Nathan Fraser. It was a very, very good match. So right now, as far as Rey Fénix goes, well, I'm not sure exactly, you know, certainly what to expect. I mean, I know he's obviously going to be featured for WrestleMania, but I'm not sure exactly what to predict. As a matter of fact, even though Rey Fénix had officially signed with WWE March 21st, I didn't expect Rey Fénix to actually debut until after WrestleMania. Because, you know, last week I did an episode about Miro, who was known as Rusev in WWE. Apparently he had reportedly re-signed with WWE. And I said that Miro is very likely, I wouldn't expect him to debut until after WrestleMania. So I would have thought the same thing for Rey Fénix, but I guess WWE just had other plans. But as far as Rey Fénix in a WrestleMania program, I don't know. I mean, I think that's why some sources insist that Rey Fénix is going to work Randy Orton. I mean, that very well could be the case. So, I mean, obviously at that point, it's an opportunity. It's an impromptu match. So because Randy Orton no longer has his opponent for WrestleMania and we don't know who Rey Fénix could work with at WrestleMania, well, then you know what? It's easily remedied. Rey Fénix versus Randy Orton at WrestleMania in an impromptu match. So, you know what? Why not? And I think Rey Fénix goes over in that case. So, now I fully understand why particular sources insisted that Rey Fénix is a suitable potential opponent for Randy Orton. But other than that, I don't know. I don't know what Rey Fénix has moving forward. I honestly don't. So, you know what? We'll just have to wait and see. Ladies and gentlemen, now we get to the favor. CM Punk has been owed a favor from Paul Heyman ever since CM Punk teamed up with the original Tribal Chief to save the bloodline. We have been wondering for a long time, what is it that CM Punk is owed? At first, we thought that it was him main eventing WrestleMania with Rollins and Reigns, but CM Punk made it clear that, ladies and gentlemen, is not the favor. That segment with Rollins and Reigns and Punk on SmackDown last week was just absolute pure joy. I swear to God, Paul Heyman, of all the times I have praised the man for his mic skills, for his acting skills, Paul Heyman is truly one of a kind. Much like many of the huge names that have worked in the business, Paul Heyman has had a unique and illustrious career. Paul Heyman, of course, 5 years ago when he was paired up with Roman Reigns to start the whole bloodline, start the whole Tribal Chief, head of the table, bloodline story, man, it was perfect. Perfect. And I know that on my show, I had a guest come on many, many times who was absolutely critical of the whole bloodline storyline. To be honest with you, while I respectfully disagreed, well, I thought the bloodline storyline has been amazing since day one. You know, of course, there were some downs, but you know, did I think Roman Reigns was champion for too long? Well, that's honestly besides the point. But that particular individual, well, you know, it's his opinion. I respect it, even though I don't agree with it. That would be, of course, Mr. Mark Braverman. He and I disagree on a lot of things in professional wrestling, but you know, the man's entitled to his opinion. I respect it. I don't agree with him on anything. In fact, he and I probably disagree on probably 80% of stuff. And you know what? We just leave it there. We just respectfully disagree. We give each other, we explain to each other why we think that. And you know what? While there's disagreements, we just say, okay, well, you know what? That's it. We each give our side and then we move on. But anyway, but the whole thing back to Paul Heyman, because I got too low carried away. So Paul Heyman, you know, ever since Roman Reigns lost the title last year at WrestleMania, I mean, the whole thing with the wise man, the special counsel, and you know, everything's just gotten so much more entertaining. I mean, remember when Paul Heyman refused to acknowledge Solo Sikoa as his tribal chief? I mean, we all know the story behind that, especially with Paul Heyman's appearance that night looking completely disheveled. I mean, if you saw Paul Heyman, you see how he was not shaved. His hair was gray. I mean, Paul Heyman literally explained that he went days with eating food that he doesn't like. He didn't clean his hair. He didn't shave. He even said that he wore a suit that didn't even fit him properly. You see, Paul Heyman is that dedicated man. Paul Heyman is that dedicated. He wants to make things as real as can be. Okay? As real as can be. Now, going back briefly to Mr. Mark Braverman. Now, Mark praised Paul Heyman. So Mark basically said that Paul Heyman being with Roman Reigns, I mean, Mark basically said that Paul was making Roman a bit, giving him some, a bit of being relevant, basically. I mean, again, it's clear Mr. Braverman is not a fan of Roman Reigns. I mean, it's been well documented here on the show. I've said too as well that I'm not the biggest fan of Roman Reigns, but you know, he's had good moments. He's had bad moments. I can understand why a lot of people are not a fan of Roman Reigns, especially because after the split of the Shield, how you know WWE immediately tried to push him to the main event. A lot of fans felt that Roman was being shoved down their throat. I mean, people thought the same thing with a Bloodline story. Mr. Braverman obviously felt that way. Again, I personally didn't because I thought the Bloodline story has always been entertaining. I've loved it since day one. I always thought that Paul Heyman being paired up with Roman Reigns was one of the best things. But at this point, so now we get to the favor now. And I apologize for kind of going way off topic. But when we saw this segment on SmackDown, well, it started off with Roman Reigns and then Seth Rollins came out. Of course, you know the history between the two. How you know Rollins, you know, saying you know he could have ended Punk, but Roman didn't let him. So, well, when CM Punk came out, I mean, the crowd exploded. But you know, before the segment came, when they showed a backstage clip of Roman Reigns arriving in a car, and of course Paul Heyman is there to greet and acknowledge his tribal chief. Roman Reigns doesn't say anything. You even hear Paul Heyman go, "My tribal chief," as Roman is walking towards the ring. So, CM Punk finally comes out, and CM Punk got straight to the point. And I mean, even CM Punk went as far as to acknowledge Roman Reigns as his tribal chief, although some people would say that's just CM Punk's sarcasm. You know, whether it's sarcasm or not, then obviously, it's once again shows that CM Punk is a master at the promos. Man. You know what? Here I was talking about Eddie Kingston and Kevin Owens teaching me how to speak on a mic. You know what? CM Punk too. CM Punk has taught me too. So Punk, thank you. Thank you so much. Kevin, Eddie, thank you guys. Thank you guys as well. I love you guys. There are so many wrestlers. And there are so many wrestlers. I mean, Paul Heyman too had taught me how to speak on a mic. I'm not even kidding. So CM Punk decided to kind of take us back in time. Okay, this is when CM Punk arrived in WWE. CM Punk basically smartens up the audience and the fans watching around the world about him arriving in WWE. I think it was mentioning Ohio Valley Wrestling or something like that. Basically, from what CM Punk said, that when he arrived in WWE, well, apparently management felt that he did not belong. And CM Punk, and as CM Punk says it, Paul Heyman, who is pretty much, I mean, all right, you know what? This is what I don't know, okay. It's heavily insisted, it's heavily insisted that Paul Heyman was the only support CM Punk had when CM Punk first arrived back in late 2005, early 2006. Now, of course, we mentioned, CM Punk kind of makes the reference to when Paul Heyman was fired from WWE in 2006, okay? I think it was because from that Elimination Chamber at December to Dismember, I think it was after that when Paul Heyman was fired. Because I think CM Punk mentioned, he mentioned the Big Show. I forget which other wrestler he mentioned as well. I forgot. Oh, RVD. Yeah, RVD. So he mentioned that CM Punk, you know, again, they were in Big Show's tour bus, and CM Punk said that he was worried that WWE was going to fire him. And, you know, Paul Heyman, and he says that Paul Heyman told him that he'd be fine. And then CM Punk apologized for making it about himself. I mean, all this is obviously based off legitimate. It's all legitimate. This really did happen. Now, again, as I mentioned, that Elimination Chamber from December to December when Bobby Lashley became the new ECW champion. See, from what I've read, according to the research and from what I've read, Paul Heyman wanted to put the ECW title on CM Punk. Big Show even actually not only agreed, Big Show actually volunteered to have him submit to CM Punk in the Anaconda Vice because Big Show not only agreed that CM Punk needed to win the title, but Big Show wanted to put CM Punk over even more. He wanted to basically submit to the Anaconda Vice. Big Show was basically another supporter of CM Punk, obviously, and obviously Rob Van Dam. So even though it said that CM Punk said that Paul Heyman was his only supporter, well, to be honest with you, it's more clear like this. Not that Paul Heyman was basically forgetting, not that CM Punk was forgetting anybody, rather, but honestly, I think at the time, Paul Heyman was CM Punk's biggest and most loyal supporter. Obviously, Big Show supported Punk too. So did RVD. And I know that a lot of other wrestlers did as well. But I could have sworn that when Paul Heyman was fired, it had to do a lot with that particular match. Now, I can possibly pull up a couple of things just to be sure, but you never really know exactly what a certain source says. Now, I don't know exactly. So, if I remember correctly, Paul Heyman was originally fired by WWE in late 2004. We all know that story. I think Paul Heyman originally came back in May 2005 for the whole ECW One Night Stand concept. And then I think it was a year after that where he was regularly on WWE programming when ECW was one of the shows for WWE for the relaunch. But I think it was actually in December of 2006 when it was announced that Paul Heyman had been sent home by Vince McMahon. But I don't know exactly how things happened. Now, apparently there was an altercation and Paul Heyman was even also pulled from the ECW creative team. I think because, you know, things with ECW had just been going so bad. I'm not sure exactly, but I know that when Paul Heyman was gone from WWE in late 2006, there was a lot of behind the scenes creative disagreements between Heyman and McMahon. But again, I think also there was even a meeting in Vince McMahon's corporate plane after the pay-per-view, and you know McMahon and Heyman actually had several clashes in front of members of the writing team. And actually, the argument with McMahon between Paul Heyman and McMahon was over a disagreement over the Extreme Elimination Chamber match at December to December. So I was correct. So again, you know, to prove of what I've been saying from my research, Heyman thought that Big Show should have been eliminated in the match by Punk via submission, because to push CM Punk, and Big Show was in support of it because Big Show wanted to help push CM Punk, but Vince McMahon disagreed, and of course in that match CM Punk was actually eliminated first by Rob Van Dam. Actually, I mean at that point Rob Van Dam had just been doing as he was told, but. So because of that, I think according to this, Paul Heyman was apparently given an offer to return to his post writing for WWE developmental television shows, and that was it. So Paul Heyman had officially left WWE quietly in December of 2006, a couple of days before Christmas. So this is all part of the story. So now it seemed like I went off topic again, but no, I'm telling the story because for what CM Punk said, okay, because I want to back up CM Punk's claims. So again, it goes to show, as I said, in that Elimination Chamber match during that time, Paul Heyman saw the potential in CM Punk. Apparently, Vince McMahon didn't. Now, Vince McMahon was wrong on this one, okay? Big Show agreed. I mean, you know, I'm sure a lot of wrestlers honestly agreed. A lot of wrestlers, I'm sure, agreed. I'm sure there were writers as well that felt CM Punk had potential, but then again, it's Vince McMahon that makes the decisions. So Bobby Lashley went on to win that Elimination Chamber match, which, you know, it's not the worst thing ever. I mean, nothing against Bobby Lashley. I mean, to be honest with you, I wouldn't even be surprised if Bobby Lashley felt the same way. If Bobby Lashley were to actually reveal that he felt that CM Punk should have been crowned champion that night, well, at that point, Bobby Lashley, from what I feel, Bobby Lashley was probably told, you're going to win the title, and I'm sure Lashley kept his mouth closed, didn't cause any problems, and he did as he was told. So, if that's the case, well, I commend Bobby Lashley for not causing any problems. But again, I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if Bobby Lashley agreed with the idea that CM Punk should have gone over in that match to become the new champion. It's unfortunate that it happened, but that's in the past. But as CM Punk brings it up, you know, CM Punk describes Paul Heyman as his best friend. So again, Paul Heyman was CM Punk's biggest supporter. Paul Heyman went to bat for him. Paul Heyman just literally went as far as arguing with Vince McMahon to defend CM Punk. I mean, Paul Heyman literally went to the far ends of the earth for CM Punk. Paul Heyman literally threw himself to the wolves for CM Punk. So, the history between Paul Heyman and CM Punk goes back during that time. And we all remember in 2013 when CM Punk was a Paul Heyman guy. Of course, Paul Heyman in that segment after he betrayed Punk. See, it's Paul Heyman gave a little bit of a story right there. So, Paul Heyman and CM Punk, they go way back. There's a lot of history. As a matter of fact, there's probably so much history that, you know what, they could make a mini documentary out of this. You know what? Maybe one day they will. So here's how it concludes. CM Punk informs Roman Reigns that Paul Heyman is going to be in CM Punk's corner and not in Roman Reigns' corner. So basically, that's the favor. The favor is, your wise man. I can't even believe I forgot this. Paul Heyman, of course, mentions CM Punk mentions that Paul Heyman is, in fact, legitimately wise. Again, because that's how this whole story went, about CM Punk being defended and being supported by Paul Heyman. So, CM Punk informs the tribal chief that his wise man will not be in his corner, but he will be in his. Basically, Punk tells Roman that your wise man will not be in your corner. He's going to be in mine. Roman Reigns, the original tribal chief, our tribal chief, acknowledge him. Basically laughed it off and basically tells Punk, I saved him. He needs me. He's referring to Paul Heyman. He's basically saying, I saved Paul. He needs me. Although wrestlers would say that in reality, it's the other way around. Paul Heyman being paired up with Roman Reigns made things good. It's that Roman Reigns needed Paul Heyman. That's what wrestling fans would say, okay? Mr. Braverman would probably agree to that. Although, I'm sure Mr. Braverman, since day one, did not like the idea of Paul Heyman being paired up with Roman Reigns. Again, Mr. Braverman is not a fan of Roman Reigns. Mr. Braverman and I have a lot of disagreements, but you know what? That's okay. Mr. Braverman has an opinion. He's entitled to it. He's not always right, but you know what? That's besides the point. The point is he has an opinion. But again, going back to that, is that fans would actually say that in reality, it's Roman Reigns who needed Paul Heyman. It's Roman Reigns that was made relevant by Paul Heyman. Again, Mr. Braverman is not the only guy out there that doesn't like Roman Reigns, who thought that Roman Reigns was overrated. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think Roman Reigns is underrated. You know what? Honestly, look, I'm not the biggest fan of Roman Reigns, but I sure as hell appreciate him. I'll be honest. I'm sure I'm getting laughed at right now, but I do in fact appreciate Roman Reigns because I do like, I've always loved the tribal chief character. I really have. So again, you know, from the history, yeah. Now, Roman Reigns again laughed it off and says that it's, you know, that Paul needs him. He made Paul. So Roman Reigns basically tells Paul Heyman to tell CM Punk no. And Paul Heyman, literally, I'm talking about that act. I mean, Paul Heyman has said in many interviews, Paul Heyman insists that he is not the best actor, but honestly, reality begs to differ. I could beg to differ, but the truth is, it's reality. Reality begs to differ. Paul Heyman is, in fact, a very good actor. Paul Heyman starts crying. And after he is ordered by his tribal chief one more time to decline CM Punk's favor, Paul Heyman says, no, my tribal chief, I can't do that. And after a few seconds, CM Punk attacks the tribal chief and delivers a go to sleep. And while that's happening, Seth freaking Rollins is laughing his butt off. So there we have it. Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins versus CM Punk with Paul Heyman. So what does that mean in the future? Because we all know CM Punk's going over at WrestleMania. CM Punk is going over. And to be honest with you, it makes sense that if Paul Heyman is at CM Punk's side, if CM Punk pins Roman Reigns to go over, it makes sense. And if that's the case, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to make this prediction right now. It is going to come to the point. Paul Heyman is going to betray Roman Reigns in the future. CM Punk is going to turn heel. We're going to have heel CM Punk with Paul Heyman in his corner like we had over 10 years ago. Late 2012 to mid-2013. So there it is, ladies and gentlemen. So to make my prediction clear, number one, CM Punk is going to pin Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. And then shortly after WrestleMania, Paul Heyman will officially betray Roman Reigns and fully align himself with CM Punk full-time. And CM Punk and Paul Heyman will be heel. If it doesn't happen after WrestleMania, it's going to happen during WrestleMania. That's Paul Heyman betrays Roman Reigns and CM Punk gets the win and CM Punk turns heel at WrestleMania. You know what? Whether it happens at WrestleMania or after, the bottom line is my ultimate prediction is that CM Punk is going to turn heel. Now, as far as your predictions go for the triple threat match, also leave them down below in the comments if you're listening on Spotify or on YouTube. Do you believe that Paul Heyman will betray Roman Reigns in the future and will align himself with Punk full-time and CM Punk will turn heel? Why or why not? That's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. That's where I'm at. CM Punk's going to be turning heel in the foreseeable future. If not at WrestleMania, then it's going to happen in the coming weeks because Paul Heyman is going to betray Roman Reigns and fully realign himself with CM Punk. CM Punk is going to be a Paul Heyman guy once again. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, Ringside Chaos is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and on YouTube. So if you would please hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way, I know for sure that you're not going to miss out on any exciting upcoming content. Thank you all very, very much. Y'all have a good one, and God bless.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.